Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. Happy Father's Day to you. Any guys in the congregation who don't have this book? We've only got a couple left out there right now at the table at the Narthex. If you'd like to grab one, please do. This is a book that we're working through once a month, second Saturday of the month. We have our men's breakfast, and we're working our way through this book. We invite any of you guys to grab this on the way out, and if there isn't one for you today, let me know, and I'd be happy to get one to you in the weeks to come. Also, if you've not yet picked up this book, we invite you to do that. This is a study that we've just begun today, working our way through the gospel-centered life on growing as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, and we're all working our way through this. We invite you to join us during the Sunday school hour for that, or to work through that on your own. And then anyone who doesn't have this book, this devotional book of prayers, we invite you to grab one of those on your way out. Let's turn to the back of the bulletin. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper today. I've referenced earlier to some of our visitors, if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, we invite you to join us in receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We have a congregational meeting next Sunday for the session and deacons to present a project to you to replace air conditioners and furnaces and to seek your approval of that as a congregation. So please make note of that and intend to join us. And you'll see there, Amy and I will be out this week in Louisville, Kentucky at the PCA General Assembly. We can be reached by phone or you can contact one of the other elders or officers if you have any need. Any other announcements? Let's encourage one another then with this series of announcements that we have in the front of the bulletin. And that is, friends, that Christ has come.
Christ has come.
Christ is crucified.
Christ is crucified.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ is coming again.
Christ is coming again.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a Savior.
I have a home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken road. You walk it first, you know all pain, but you showed hope can rise again upon the grave.
Hear the Lord now calling us to worship from Micah and the Psalms. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Please stand as we will now respond to the Lord in song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Bow your heads with me and join me, if you would, in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are high and lifted up. Yet, you are with those of a broken and contrite spirit. We acknowledge our dependence on you, and we praise you for your tenderly fatherly provision. Your fatherly goodness and care has never failed us, and we know that come what may, you remain faithful, O Father. Foremost, we praise you for gifting us with that which was most precious in your sight, that is, your Son. Your word reminds us that in this gift of your Son, that we too were gifted life through the risen Savior, and we have in him the propitiation of our sins. So, Lord, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience by the blood of Christ, as those risen from amongst the spiritually dead, we respond to your love. For no greater love has ever been shown than you, Lord Jesus, laying down your life for us, enemies, but now friends through the work of the cross. What amazing grace, O Lord. We were wretches, we were blind and lost, but as the Good Shepherd, you set your affections upon us and you found us. You gave us sight, you made us your children. We are now of your own household and no longer strangers and aliens of the covenant with no hope. We acknowledge that this is entirely of you, O Lord. If not for the Spirit breathing life into these dry bones, where would we be, O God? Oh, how faithful you are. Oh, how loving you are. As a result, we come with boldness before you. For if you did not spare your own Son, but delivered Christ over for us all, how will you not freely give us all things? This is your promise to us. And so we ask, O Lord, encounter us through the means of grace here this morning. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would make use of even these means today in continuing to fashion us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even through the preached word and through the Lord's Supper, pierce our hearts, I pray. Feed our hungry souls, encourage us in our weariness, and correct our wandering ways, we pray. And as we respond with praises, we pray that you would accept them, O Father. Lastly, we want to humbly thank you for this covenant community that you have grafted us into. And we pray that you would continually inflame our affections for your people and for you. We pray this through the merits of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let's hear as the Lord calls us to confess our sins with the reading of the law from Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's bow our heads and corporately confess our sins to the prayer of Jonah while he was in the belly of the fish from Jonah chapter 2. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, Yet I shall look again on your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And let's silently confess our sins for a moment. Hear now the good news of the Lord as he assures us of his pardon if we have confessed our sin. From Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Please stand as we respond to this gospel message. With redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.
invite most of you to be seated except for Craig and Elizabeth Rollins. Last month, Craig and Elizabeth met with the session, our board of elders, and interviewed for membership, and they gave professions of faith and were received into membership at the church. And now they are publicly declaring their faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, if you were with us last week, I'll make reference of it again today. In the story of Jonah, we see Jonah seeking to see from the presence of the Lord, but we also see him fleeing from the callings of the Lord. You know, we have callings from the Lord to church membership, to membership in a local body of believers submitted to the oversight of elders. Christian life, we reference this in our adult Sunday school class today. Christian life is a submitted life. And one of the ways that we submit to the Lord is submitting to the government that he has placed over a local church. And we submit not only to the elders of a church, but also to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for the Lord. Church membership is one way that we do that. So Craig and Elizabeth have already given their vows, made their vows of membership to us, but they'll be doing that now publicly. As they do, I want you to be reminded, if you're a member of this church or another evangelical church, I want you to be reminded of the vows that you made. And as you hear them profess their faith in Christ and their willingness to live in this manner, let that be a challenge to us all to rightly honor the Lord with the way in which we live. And if you haven't yet submitted to membership in the local church, I invite you, brother, sister, to not flee from that call of them. I say that again. And I believe in submission to God. Pray to Elizabeth. Do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving his displeasure, and without hope if it were not for his sovereign mercy? We do. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon him alone for your salvation as he's offered in the gospel? We do. Do you now resolve and promise in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live in a manner that becomes the followers of Christ? We do. Do you promise to support the church in its worship and work to the best of your ability? We do. And do you submit yourselves to the government and discipline of the church and promise to study and to apply yourself to its purity and peace?
We do.
All right. Well, again, we welcome you and allow me to give thanks to the Lord. Lord God, we thank you for Craig and Elizabeth and what a delight it has been to have them be with us, right? About a year or so. Maybe not exactly. But Lord, we remember, I'm reminded of how Eric made reference of this in the past month or two. You gave us a new organ. And then within a month, you gave us an organist in Craig. And we thank you also that he's not the only one of this family who has been serving you and us here at Newport Church. We thank you also for the ministry of Elizabeth in her playing the piano, leading us in worship. Lord, we thank you for the way that they have served us in any number of ways. We thank you for the encouragement that they are, the way that they show hospitality, the way that they encourage us in the Lord. Lord, may we in turn encourage them as they have encouraged us. Lord, would you encourage and keep us all? This is our prayer. Amen.
All right, let's pray. Lord God, on this Father's Day, we do thank you that we can rightly relate to you as our Father. You are the High King of Heaven, and you are also our Abba Father. We thank you that you have caused us through faith to be united to your Son, the Lord Jesus,
who is our elder brother. And you have given us your Spirit, who is our guide, our comforter, our counselor, our friend. We praise you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we do thank you for our fathers, for our natural fathers, maybe for some adopted fathers, either legally or through coming alongside of another. Thank you for men in this church and the way that they have fathered one another. I thank you for the way other generations have come before us and have fathered us in the faith as well. Lord, be pleased to continue to build up your body here at Newport Church through the ministry of the men, but also certainly through the ministry of our sisters in Christ. We pray for, as a request, for precancerous condition that has been discovered. Lord, we pray that his treatment would be effective. We pray for proper diagnosis in his care. We pray that you would be pleased to heal him, whether through the near miracle of modern medicine or through your sovereign divine interventional touch. Heal him, deliver him from that cancer. And Lord, I think of so many others also struggling with this aspect of the fall, this great enemy of mankind, which is cancer. We pray for any others who may find themselves in this being a season of big decisions. Lord, grant wisdom to her and to us all. And Lord, enable us to rest confidently in your sovereign care and direction over us. May we seek to apply godly wisdom. May we seek the wisdom of others. But then may we go forth confident that you indeed are leading us on the right path. And even if it seems like we take a left when we should have gone right, Lord, we thank you that you are the God who is sovereign over what seem to be wrong decisions on our part. We thank you that you are able to work good in all circumstances. But Lord, restore to us all the joy of our salvation. Lord, we do pray for our denomination this week as we gather together, teaching and ruling elders, gathering together in Louisville, Kentucky, to conduct the business of your church, some of the business of your church. And Lord, I thank you for those who are staying behind in their local churches, other ruling elders and teaching elders, to continue to do that work of the church as well. Lord, may we glorify you through our unity, develop more and more of a unity, and may we be a denomination that is known for holding fast to both the truth, to unity, and to the peace of your gospel. And Lord, I ask your blessing upon the ministry of Stony Hill, St. James Evangelical Church there in Stony Hill, as they hold VBS this week. And guide us as we have conversations amongst ourselves as to how we can minister to the children and youth of this congregation. Lord, for these and for so many other matters, we ask that you would attend to our every need. We continue to pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take a few minutes now and greet one another in the name of the Lord.
Well, everyone, a highlight of my week is to watch and hear you visit with one another. And a lowlight of my week is to have to interrupt that by calling us back to another portion of worship. We now have the opportunity to worship the Lord with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Encouraged to do so today from 1 Chronicles 16. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Alex, you're now no longer the cutest person who came up front here today. Let's stand and sing a doxology. This is Isaiah or Mark. I'll ask you to pray. Mark's twin brother Isaiah is here. I'm pretty sure this is Deacon Mark.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this Lord's Day that we get to worship you. I pray that you would bless our time here today. Thank you for these gifts and offerings. I pray that you would use them for the furthering of your kingdom. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Be seated. I'll invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. It is the fifth, if I'm remembering right, of the 12 minor prophet books at the end of the Old Testament on page 774 if you're using the Pew Bible. We'll again be looking at these first introductory verses of Jonah chapter 1 today, making a bit more progress in this book that we'll most likely be looking at throughout the remainder of the summer. Our passage today will be the first 10 verses of the book of Jonah. Let's look at that now, and as always, I want to encourage you, please keep your Bibles open throughout our time together so that you can check what I'm saying and see that it corresponds with what you have there in your hand, which is the very word of God. Let's turn our attention again to the reading of God's holy, living, and inerrant word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord.
But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? Of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For these men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is God's word for you today. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Pray with me again, please. Lord God, we do thank you for your enduring word. We thank you, Lord, that your word has gone forth and has continued to do your intended work in spite of and even through reluctant and runaway prophets. In spite of our weakness, your word proves to be powerful and will not be denied. Lord, bring the power of your word and the power of your spirit to bear in our lives so that we would not deny you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism in question 14 asks the question, what is sin? And that answer, as some of you might recall, is sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And I certainly affirm that. In this book of Jonah, we gain other additional insight into what sin is. Jonah shows us that sin is essentially our running from God. And that's what we see Jonah doing here in this book that bears his name. Jonah is running from God. He's also running, I made mention of it a little early in the service, he's also running from the calling of God. The Lord speaks to Jonah and tells him to travel 600 miles through the desert to the east to the Assyrian city of Nineveh. But instead, Jonah goes to the west. He goes first to the seaside port of Joppa, and he buys a ticket to go 2,000 miles further west, across the Mediterranean Sea to the furthest point west in all of Europe, the Spanish city of Tarshish. Three times in the first 10 verses, twice in verse 3 and again in verse 10, we're told that Jonah was seeking to flee from the presence of the Lord. Sin is running away from God. Sin is also running away from the callings of the Lord. And last week I asked questions like this: what about you? Are there any ways that you, and by the way, the answer to this question is most likely yes, are there any ways that you, are there any ways that I, are there any ways in which you tend to seek to flee the presence of the Lord? Do you seek to run from the Lord rather than to enjoy a life before his face? Do you at times, are there some areas of your life where you will not give him access, where you seek to shut him out, or where you seek to shut out his callings, and you refuse to submit to his clearly declared will for you as a follower of Jesus Christ? What might some of those tendencies be that where you seek to run from the Lord or His callings? I want to encourage you to think about that. Are there ways, even perhaps, that you know when you hear these words, are there ways that you are running from the Lord right now? Are there ways that you are resisting His clearly declared will for you as communicated through the Holy Word of God, even right now? You know, in these past several years, I've shared with you that as I reflect upon Scripture, that I've seen in my mind that sin, in no small part, demonstrates areas of unbelief in our lives. We sin when we're not trusting the Lord as we ought. Sin is when we're not fully entrusting ourselves to the Lord and to His sovereign care. And that is certainly, I suggest, a good way of thinking about sin. But Jonah helps us to see other components, other manifestations, other motivations that might lie behind our sin. Again, sin is running away from the Lord and running away from His callings upon us. And here's what I want to remind you of today. That's insane. Seeking to run away from the callings of the Lord, and especially seeking to flee from the very presence of the Lord, it's impossible, and it's also nuts. Sin makes us stupid, and we are stupid because we sin. Sin makes us insane. And we all have that tendency in us because of the brokenness that's in our lives, because of the brokenness that's come from the fall when sin and death entered the world, when our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. We all have this natural tendency to want to hide from the Lord and to flee from His presence. But thanks be to God, the Lord isn't content to allow His children to run away from Him. Thanks be to God, your Father in heaven isn't content to abandon you to your gospel insanity. But He seeks to heal you from that. He seeks to deliver you from your wandering, from your running. He seeks to heal and to deliver you and to free you from those occasions in your life where you live in gospel insanity. And how does He do that? Well, he does that. The Lord heals and He frees and delivers us from our gospel insanity through His grace. If sin is essentially our running from God, then the inverse is also true. Grace is God running after us. Grace is God's pursuit of us. God's pursuit of those who wander from us. Grace is God wooing us back to Himself, of drawing us back to Him. And even as when necessary, grace is when the good shepherd goes after us, when He leaves the 99 and He goes out to redeem, to reclaim the one who has wandered. Grace is God's healing. Grace is God's remedy for our gospel insanity. That's what God's grace is. Repentance is one of the ways that God also works to heal us and deliver us from gospel insanity. He restores our gospel sanity through repentance. We want to remember that Scripture tells us, though, that even our repentance is a grace of God. Scripture tells us in places like Acts 11:18 and 2 Timothy 2:25 and elsewhere that repentance is a gift that God gives. Repentance is yet another grace of God. When we repent, we remember from what and from whom we've strayed. And that's actually a work and a grace, a gift of God that He gives to us. But while we acknowledge that God gives this gift of repentance, we also understand that repentance is yet another one of those clearly declared will of God, one of those clearly stated callings upon the life of a follower of the Lord. And it's a calling that we can run from. Just like Jonah ran from the calling of the Lord to preach the gospel to the Ninevites, God gives the grace and the gift of repentance. But we can still obstinately refuse to exercise it, at least for a season, and even sometimes for a very long season. In Jonah 1, verses 8 through 9, we see Jonah's repentance begin. Look at that if you would. We see here the Lord begin to restore Jonah's gospel sanity. The Lord had called Jonah to preach the word of the Lord to the Gentiles in Nineveh, and the prophet Jonah ran from that calling. But as the storm, which, by the way, is also a grace of the Lord, and we'll look at that another day, as the storm rages, as it increases in intensity, in verse 6, the captain of the ship and the sailors wake Jonah. And they ask him who he is and where he's from. And notice what happens next. What happens next is that the Lord begins to restore some gospel sanity back in Jonah's life. We begin to see some of Jonah's gospel sanity begin to return when he says in verse 9, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." In that moment, Jonah stopped running, at least for a while. And he stopped running from the call of the Lord to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He stopped running from his identity as a Hebrew. He stopped running from his identity as a child of God. He stopped running from his knowledge of who is the one true God. Jonah began to have his gospel sanity restored when he began to remember. Remembering is one of the very most important spiritual practices. I've suggested to you before that remembering is one of the key aspects of what it means to abide in Christ. Turn back in your worship bulletin, if you would please, to that portion of the service where we have our confession of sin. And there, look at what I refer to as Christ's invitation to us to abide more fully in Him. Brothers and sisters, that's the solution for our sin. That's our solution from our wandering from Him, from our running from Him. That's the solution to our gospel insanity. And look what I've included there. Do you want to know what the remedies for our sin and for our gospel insanity are? Our running from God, our running from His callings on our lives, it's in no small part that we first stop doing what we're doing. We see that what we've been doing as being wrong. We see that as being sinful. And if we're seeking to flee from the presence of the Lord, we first stop running further away from Him. And we remember. We remember who He is. We remember His character. We remember that He's the God of Jonah 4:2. Look at that if you would, please. Even while we're running from Him, we remember His character. And we remember that He is a gracious God. and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We remember what it was like to enjoy, to bask in, to live in, to be a recipient of His abounding, steadfast love, His loving kindness, His hesed. And led to do so by the Holy Spirit working in us, He draws us back to Himself. And we stop that gospel insanity that we have given ourselves over to. And we stop seeking to flee from Him. And we remember. We remember how sweet it is to live before His face, to live with Him, to abide with Him. We remember that sweetness. We remember the sweetness that it is to live in that little house at the foot of the cross that I speak to you about so often. Look also at these actions that I have written there in your bulletin in that section. And we also begin to believe again. That's another important step in our repentance and in the restoration of our gospel sanity. We stop our running away from the Lord and His callings on our lives. And we remember His character. And we remember the sweetness that communion with Him is. And we begin to believe again. We remember our identity. We remember from what it is that we've temporarily fallen as we've run from Him. We stop and we remember and we believe again. And that's what we see Jonah doing here in verse 9 of chapter 1 when he says, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah began to remember his identity as a privileged member of the covenant community of the one true God. He remembered his identity, and that began to restore his gospel sanity. And as he declared the greatness of his God to these Gentiles, he began to believe again. And he began to see the folly of his ways. How could he possibly run from the God who fills the creation that He's created? He knows all things. He sees all things. He fills all places. And that's because He's the God of Psalm 139. Turn back again a little further. Turn back to the first page of your bulletin, to the inside cover. And see that portion from Psalm 139 that I've got included there for you. The runaway prophet is remembering who it is who he's trying to run away from. And he's beginning to believe in this God again. From Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there, the abode of the dead. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Turn back again now to that section of the confession of sin, to that section that I've got entitled Christ's invitation to us to abide more fully in Him. I've listed as a next step in our turning away from our sin and our running from God as grieve. And in that, we remember from what we have fallen from. We remember all of the various reasons that the Lord's redeemed us. We remember His goodness, His holiness, His kindness, His grace, His mercy, His loving, steadfast care for us. We remember from what it is that we're running from. And we grieve that we've done that yet again. We grieve our folly. We grieve our insanity. We grieve the insanity of our insanity. And we see the folly and the insanity of believing first that we could actually free from his presence. But then we also grieve over how readily we do that in so many ways, again and again and again. Let your hearts be broken by that. But then we also rejoice. And I get a sense of joy in Jonah's voice. Do you too, maybe, over this proclamation that he makes when they ask him, "Who are you? Who is your God?" I get a sense of joy in Jonah's voice over this proclamation that he's a Hebrew, that he fears the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. We remember our salvation, and the Lord continues to restore our gospel sanity, and that leads us into more rejoicing. We remember that the Lord is near, that he hasn't and he won't abandon us, even though we, like Jonah, may have attempted to abandon him. We remember that it really is impossible for the believer who's been united to Christ through the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit of God will never really be successful in seeking to flee from him. And we give thanks for that. And we do as the Apostle Paul encourages us to do in Philippians 4:5. We rejoice. We rejoice because the Lord is at hand. And we repent. We turn from our wanderings and we turn back to the Lord. Having stopped and remembering and believing and grieving over our sin and our folly and our wandering, we rejoice again in the joy of our salvation. And we remember that he is a God who is gracious and mercy, abounding in steadfast love, who rejoices himself to receive repentant sinners back to himself. We repent and we turn from our wanderings and we turn back to the Lord in renewed faith. And we continue on in renewed, ongoing repentance and faith, empowered by and dependent upon the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us to enable us to live a God-centered, gospel-centered, sanity-restored life. Now, sadly for Jonah and also for us, this isn't always a quick process. And it's not always a straightforward and upward progression. We can have starts and stops, sometimes making progress, sometimes falling again, being restored to the Lord and then wandering from him again, being restored to gospel sanity and then giving ourselves over to gospel insanity again. And in this book of Jonah, we're going to see Jonah continue to struggle along in his journey of faith. We're going to see him continue to struggle in his trusting the Lord and in his fulfilling the calling that the Lord's given him. But today, we see some of his gospel insanity be healed. We see gospel sanity begin to be restored, at least temporarily, as this reluctant runaway prophet opens his mouth to these Gentile sailors and speaks of the greatness of God. The prophet speaks. The prophet proclaims the glory of the Lord. Jonah's making progress. But friends, we need a prophet better than Jonah. And Jesus Christ is that better prophet. Jesus is not a runaway prophet. Jesus Christ is not a reluctant prophet. He's not a prophet who seeks to run away from the Father's calling or from the Father's presence. But Jesus perfectly fulfilled every calling that the Father placed upon him. He perfectly revealed the will of God for our salvation through his word and through his Spirit. And because of that, he's able to not only be a prophet, but he's able also to be a savior that you and I need. Though we have sinned, and sadly we will continue to sin, Jesus Christ never did. Jonah did, but Jesus did not. Though we're tempted to flee the presence of the Lord and his calling on our lives, Jesus Christ never did. Jonah did, but Jesus Christ did not. Jesus succeeded where Jonah failed. Jesus was faithful where Jonah was not. Jesus is faithful where we are not. And in this meal that's set before you, in this sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus meets with us. We might be tempted to run away from him, but Jesus comes to us. And one of the ways that he comes to us is through this meal. This sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In this meal, he brings us more grace. And as we remember, as we declare his life and death and resurrection, as we do that, as we partake of this meal, he restores our sanity. We're going to come forward today. Rather than receiving the elements in your seat, I'll ask you all to come forward as a symbol that you do not desire to run from the Lord, but you desire to come near to him. And he invites you to do this in this meal, remembering who he is, remembering that he is Emmanuel, the God who has already come near. And he is the God who is with us always, even to the end of the age. And this God invites us, do not flee from me, but come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Find the spiritual nourishment that you need as you take his yoke upon you. And that may feel like a burdensome thing, that may sound like a burdensome thing to have the yoke of Christ be placed upon you. But when Jesus is your yoke fellow, he is the one who bears our burdens and he carries us along. Friends, do not run from this kind of God, but come to him and have your gospel sanity restored. Pray with me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the God who redeems repentant sinners. You are the God who redeems reluctant and runaway prophets. And you are the God who redeems people like us. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. And Lord, we thank you for this meal, this holy sacrament which you offer to us, to enable us to remember and to believe and to repent. Return to us the joy of our salvation. Cause us to grieve over our foolishness and restore gospel sanity to us. We thank you that you promise in your word that you are giving us the mind of Christ. Such is the degree of restoration of gospel sanity that you offer to us. But that comes to us only as we abide more fully in you. Jesus, as we partake of the bread and the juice and the vine, would you fill us? Would you abide in us and draw us close spiritually, increase our spiritual union with you and our recollection of that, recognition of that, Lord, through this meal. Take these common elements of bread and juice and wine and set them apart for your holy purposes, Lord. And Lord, set us apart as well and nourish us, build our faith, so that we might continue on in ongoing renewed sanity and faith and repentance. Be pleased to do this, Lord, I pray. You are such knuckleheads, there's only one way that God could restore you to sanity and me. And that was through the provision of His Son, the Redeemer, the Rescuer, the Savior. We remember what it took for our redemption, our restoration to be possible. And that was for God the Son to be willing to leave His Father's side. He was there before the face of the Father in heaven. But to accomplish this work of redemption that the Father intended for Him, He left the Father's side, not fleeing from His Father in sin, but to do His will. He came and lived the perfect life. And then He offered that life up for a substitute for any who would receive Him, receive it. And that's what we show forth in this meal. In this meal, we show forth the life, death, and also we proclaim the resurrection and the future coming, His return to us again. On that last day, Scripture tells us in the gospel message, in the gospel accounts, that that last night before He would go to the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin to restore us to Himself and to the Father, He took bread and after giving thanks, He broke it and He said, "This is my body, which is for you." And then likewise also He took the cup and He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the remission of sins." And He said, "Take, drink, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And we do this not only as a remembrance of what He has done, but we also do this in ongoing dependence upon Him, for we must continue to receive that grace that He offers to us. We must continue to be renewed in faith, to be renewed in spirit. And He does that in no small part through this meal and then also with His Holy Spirit who He sends to accompany it. I want to remind you that the outermost ring of the liquid is juice. The inner two rings are wine. The innermost row of crackers are gluten-free. And then the outer rows of crackers are regular crackers. Again, I'm going to invite you to come forward. As you do, let's pray again. Lord God, do not let us flee from You, but draw us ever nearer to You, now and always, through this meal, through Your Holy Spirit, who has united us in faith to You, our Father, Christ, our brother, our Savior. Be pleased to accomplish. It is our prayer as we come forward that You will do that now and always. And I invite you, come forward and receive the Lord's provision. Now receive the Lord's benediction. As those who have tasted of the goodness of God and have been found and restored by His grace, may the love of God the Father and the grace of God the Son and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be yours now and forevermore. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Bless you all.